हरे कृष्ण। सो हरे कृष्ण, आई लाइक टू थैंक यू ऑल फॉर बीइंग हियर, एंड आई लाइक टू थैंक जनार्दन प्रभु फॉर द अपॉर्चुनिटी ऑफ गिविंग दिस क्लास इन फ्रंट ऑफ द वृंदावन रेजिडेंट्स एंड सर्वेंट्स ऑफ देयर लॉर्डशिप्स हियर। Thank you so much, Hare Krishna. So, today is the appearance day of Srimati Lalita, and we'll try our best to glorify her and to get to know how Lalita can become a personality that we aspire to have her mercy. How do we get there? That's important. So, before, in my humble understanding, this will be a little philosophy to begin, and then we'll get into it. So, when Srila Prabhupada was giving lectures on main holidays, big events like Janmashtami or Radhastami, he would give lectures. But if you analyze the lectures Prabhupada would give, he would be into the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, like narrating the different stories in quote. Was not the main substance of his lectures. He would rather go in the philosophy, because Prabhupada knew very well that without the philosophy, how can you progress? You need the philosophy. So we'll try to do that here a little bit, and then we'll get into it. So, since I don't have, don't have access to the database because no computer, I'll begin with one point. For what I remember of Srila Prabhupada, something like that. So I have half, and the second half, I know I'm very sure what Prabhupada said. So if we want to understand the mood of the six Goswamis, what the six Goswamis were absorbed into. Something like that that Prabhupada said. Then Prabhupada said that then you must follow strictly the instructions of your spiritual master. Very important. So, in other words, we have homework to do all the time to become, to attain the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness. So today is a day where we can be given an understanding how perfection of Krishna consciousness can be attained. That we will read about today. There is a technicality into that. So, to begin, let's say we're going to start from the beginning of how we're going to make progress in Krishna consciousness is mainly through the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This is the main ingredient. This is like opening the safe of Krishna consciousness. And Lord Chaitanya is so kind that he says, "Nam Nam Akari," that the chanting of this holy name has all the potencies of Krishna, and it has the power to give complete satisfaction, complete revelation to the chanter. It's so important. So within the Maha Mantra, there is everything we need to become fully Krishna conscious. So, but we have a little problem, and Lord Chaitanya touched that problem. What is that problem? Huh? The problem is that our heart is not purified from the beginning. That's the problem. So Lord Chaitanya says, Chetu Darpana Marjanam, that this chanting of the Maha Mantra will cleanse one's heart. So by chanting the Maha Mantra, Prabhupada also has explained that we will attain the stage of knowing our true self, knowing that we are a spirit soul, that we are not this body. So, and Prabhupada says the first dirty thing is what? I'll ask the question. Does anyone know? What is the first dirty thing we have to get rid of? According to Srila Prabhupada. Envy? Anything else? That's not the first. It's part of the problem. But we have to identify what? Huh? That's like part of the solution, but it's not the problem. The first dirty thing, we have to understand, the first dirty thing that we have a big problem with, and that we should, without solving this one, we're not going anywhere in Krishna consciousness. I'm sorry. In the sense that sooner or later, we have to confront this problem. This is just to emphasize how important that problem is. That problem is all-pervading as far as our consciousness is concerned. So, any other try? Then I'll get it. Yes? Ahankara, that's part, that's right on, right? So Prabhupada says, these are Prabhupada's words, that the first dirty thing is this bodily concept of life. That's the first thing. So without first understanding that there is this problem, how can you say you are Krishna conscious? You think you make progress, but again, sooner or later, this will catch up with you. And then you'll understand, oh, I made a mistake. I did not deal with this devotee properly. Or, what to speak, devotee, so-called non-devotee also. Because we are still not free from the bodily conception of life. So that's the first dirty thing, is to get free of this, the bodily concept of life. So when we are in the Western world, because that's where I come from, I come in Vrindavan by Krishna's mercy, and here it's so nice because when you mention the word Jamuna, then it's fast. You know, okay, Jamuna is there. And to Krishna, is all over the place, Krishna, and the deities. So you can identify so quickly with the items of Krishna consciousness by saying the words. But when you are in the Western world or anywhere else but not the Holy Dham, right? Then it's another situation. When you say Hare Krishna, then it seems that you have some work. It's a little harder there is an effort to be there, right? So, and then there is a conclusion to making so many efforts. And then sometimes you want to make the effort and your effort was futile in the sense that you know very well, oh, Maya got hold of me and I fell in something that was not that much Krishna conscious. So all right, you pick yourself up and you continue chanting, don't despair, and you go on. But the idea is, how long are you going to go on like that? And this is also related with the bodily concept of life. As when we are not free from the bodily concept of life, then we don't see 100% transparent what is our position. Our position as a spirit soul is what? What is our position as a spirit soul? If I understand I am a spirit soul, then what's the next step? Okay. The next step is to act as a spirit soul. Right? If you understand you are a spirit soul, then what is there left to do is to act as a spirit soul. And to act as a spirit soul, then you begin to enter into the realm of devotional service. Then everything is there. There are the deities, there are devotees, there is a spiritual master. That's the realm of acting as a spirit soul. So, when we get into that, and we try to understand how does devotional service work? When I chant Hare Krishna, I'm praying, I'm saying, oh spiritual energy of the Lord, oh Krishna, please engage me in your service. So hearing from Srila Prabhupada, how does devotional service manifest in our life? What can you say, oh, what I did is devotional? How does it work? And how did it come to happen? There's one person who is responsible for our engagement in devotional service. Who is that person? Who is the transcendental personality who is responsible to engage us in devotional service? Huh? Spiritual master is representative of that person. That person is Srimati Radharani, isn't she? So when we say Hare Krishna, we're asking Radha and Krishna to engage us in their devotional service. But then, okay, before I get to the next point, when we chant, and we, as we become purified from the bodily concept of life, then we have a conclusion to draw. That conclusion is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. The Mahatmas, they take shelter of this spiritual energy. And they don't want to act in any other way but this way. Taking shelter of the spiritual energy. So, that means when you chant Hare Krishna, at some point in time, you will come to the stage of desiring to always be under the shelter of Srimati Radharani and to serve under her inspiration, her blessings, because that's the meaning of Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But now, today, there is a point, a subtlety to this. Because when we chant Hare Krishna, yes, we want to be engaged in Radha and Krishna's service, but then if you want to push it to the limit, like Hare Krishna is very nice. And as we take shelter more and more and more of the spiritual energy, what happens to the engagement that we were engaging in, like in the service of the material energy? What happens to that if we take shelter of the spiritual energy, what happens with the service to the material energy? What happens? Kaput. It's not relevant anymore. It's like what the... So, we chant Hare Krishna, and this is... It has to come to a conclusion in our mind that we want to be fully absorbed in the service of Krishna through the influence of the spiritual energy. And for that, we have to get our act together, especially taking shelter of association of devotees. That is the kind of association we need in order to be healthy in Krishna consciousness and go on. So now, the next point, I'll make it a little bit personal. When we arrived here in Vrindavan about 3 days, 4 days ago, we happened to come to the hall where there was a program with Dina Bandhu and some Orion devotees, and we found it absolutely lovely, if you want. Very, very nice. Nice bhajan, enthusiastic dancing by these devotees. It was just wonderful. And as this was going on, I thought, yeah, life is just about that. It's about being in the service of Srimati Radharani, because there was a lot of songs based on this relationship of service to Srimati Radharani. So, the next point is to set our life, to understand that we're going to make a perfection of our life. Our conclusion is that we want to take full shelter and be fully absorbed in the service of the spiritual energy. That means Srimati Radharani. And the next step to that is to be, let's say, picked up or becoming the object of the mercy of the closest friend in the entourage of Radharani and Krishna. And that person is Lalita Sakhi. By her mercy, when she sees a devotee is very, very, very sincere, that's he wants that. He wants to be engaged in the service of Radha and Krishna, then she gives her blessings. And so you see the progress we have to make? Becoming free from the bodily concept of life, drawing a conclusion that we want to be fully absorbed in the service of the spiritual energy, and then we want to get the mercy of Srimati Lalita in order to be promoted to one of the very intimate service to Radha and Krishna. So that's the philosophy. So now we'll get into the descriptions. I will skip some. Okay. This. Okay. So we want all of you to have mercy of Srimati Lalita, since it's her appearance day today. We'd like to that all of you get the most of it. So in this paper there is what is called the Lalita Astakam, composed by Srila Rupa Goswami. So we'll read it, all the Astakam, and then we'll come back, and as time permits we'll give a description of these respective verses. So, first verse, I offer my obeisances unto the outspoken Sri Lalita Devi, who is charmingly endowed with many beautiful, sweet qualities, Su Lalita. She has natural expertise in all arts, Lalita, and thus her service self-manifests. She wipes away the glittering drops of perspiration which appear upon the lotus feet of Sri Radha and Madhava when they meet. She is perpetually immersed in the most elevated mellow of Sorida Rasa, or undivided absorption in fulfilling the heart's desire of her intimate friend, Srimati Radhika. Verse number 2. I offer pranam unto Sri Lalita Devi, whose beautiful face mocks the brilliance of the full moon, whose eyes are ever restless like those of a startled doe, who is famous for extraordinary expertise in the art of dressing Srimati Radhika, and who is the treasure house of unlimited feminine qualities. I offer pranam unto Sri Lalita Devi, whose body is adorned with a splendid sari as brilliant as the multicolored tail feathers of an ecstatically dancing peacock, whose breast is covered with an exceedingly attractive blouse, kanchuli. Whose hair part is decorated with shimmering red vermilion, and who wears various necklaces and other jeweled ornaments. Her golden complexion defeats that of even Gorochana, the bright golden pigment that comes when rainwater during the Swasti Nakshatra constellation hits the head of a qualified cow, and she possesses innumerable good qualities. I offer pranam unto Sri Lalita Devi, the charming treasure house of all good qualities, who instructs Srimati Radhika in this way. O Kalankini, unchaste one, Radhe, listen to my good instructions which are favorable for you. Vrajendra Nandana is very crafty, Durta. Don't display your mood of gentle submission, Dakshina Bhava, to him. Instead, in all circumstances, be contrary. I offer pranam unto the abode of all good qualities, the supremely charming Sri Lalita Devi, who, upon hearing Sri Krishna speak on even a few sly words to Srimati Radhika, immediately becomes furious and shames Krishna with her biting, sarcastic remarks, "You are so truthful and simple-hearted, and such a chaste lover." I offer pranam unto the supremely charming Sri Lalita Devi, who possesses all divine qualities, who is also the recipient of Yasoda Devi's parental affection, the guru of all the Sakis, instructing them in the art of friendship and the very life of both Srimati Radhika and the younger brother of Baladev. I offer pranam unto the supremely charming Sri Lalita Devi, the treasure house of all good qualities. Upon seeing any young maiden anywhere in Vraja and discerning that she is inclined towards her Priya Sakhi, Srimati Radhika, Lalita immediately tells Radha that she must accept this person in her own party, Svapaksha. Radha obeys Lalita who thus fulfills that maiden's desires. I offer pranam unto Sri Lalita Devi, the embodiment of all divine virtues and the foremost of all the favorite sakis of Gokula. Her primary task is providing pleasure for Sri Radha Govinda by arranging their meetings. This delightful seva surpasses the enjoyment of all the best festivals combined together. And then there is a ninth verse. This is like the goodies. Like, this is like Vedic style, you know. Now you did this, this, this. You are a good person. Now we're going to give you a little reward. So here's the ninth verse. If a person with a cheerful and pure heart recites this astakam in praise of Lalita Devi, he will be affectionately brought into Srimati Radhika's own group of sakis. Lalita Devi is superbly ornamented with beauty, grace, and charm, and along with Srimati Radhika is the effulgent, wish-fulfilling creeper, Kalpavali, of Vrishabhanu Maharaj's family that winds around the Kalpa Vriksha of Krishna. And here's the conclusion. In conclusion, Srimati Lalita Devi is the wish-fulfilling tree of prema seva, service and love of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Whoever chants this Lalita Ashtakam will make Radha and Krishna happy. Moreover, Lalita Devi herself will be happy and all our desires will be fulfilled. So, Srimati Lalita Devi Ki Jai. Okay. So now we'll get back to number one. Okay, now we get into something technical about the sakis. So there are four types of sakis: Swapaksha, Vipaksha, Tatashta, and Surit. Swapaksha means those sakis who are totally favorably disposed towards Srimati Radhika. Vipaksha means those gopis who are totally favorably disposed towards Chandravali and opposed to Radhika. Tatashta means those who are neutral towards Srimati Radhika and more favorably disposed towards Chandravali. Surit means those who are more favorably disposed towards Srimati Radhika and neutral towards Chandravali. Surit gopis never do anything unfavorable towards Srimati Radhika. Lalita Devi and Vishakha Devi are examples of gopis who are Swapaksha to Srimati Radhika. Chandravali is Vipaksha, Bhadra is Tatashta, and Shyamala is Surit. The mood of Lalita is that she is always trying to favorably serve the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. She always tries to please them. She engages in millions upon millions of endeavors to please them. When Radha and Krishna meet and engage in amorous pastimes, Lalita wipes away the droplets of perspiration on their lotus feet. This means that she is engaged day and night in the service of their sweet pastimes. So I just want to make a comment with something that is similar to that. Like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, don't try to see Krishna, but try to be seen by Krishna. This is where we stand. We should try to be seen by Krishna. How will we be seen by Krishna? Huh? How will we be seen by Krishna? Anyone? How can we be seen by Krishna? Someone may say, well, Krishna sees everything, he's everywhere, so what? What's the big deal? Here's the answer. But Krishna wants to see something else but just our existence. There is some flavor to our existence that he wants to see. And especially if we chant Hare Krishna, then we cannot hide behind any reason. Well, Krishna sees everything. Yeah, he sees how lazy you are. That's what he sees. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, don't try to see Krishna, but try to be seen by Krishna. And you can be seen. How are you going to be seen by Krishna? By service. So you don't count when you do service. And here we have the example of Srimati Lalita. It says here, she engages in millions of endeavors to please Radha and Krishna. That's not just one attempt, two attempts, or here and there. No, it's continuous. It's all the time. So our position should be that we want to aspire to this kind of mood, that we don't want to count how much we are endeavoring to serve Radha and Krishna or to serve our spiritual master. So when we have devotees all over the world who are absorbed in Krishna consciousness, who are taking advantage of the process that Srila Prabhupada has given to us, which is a process of self-purification, then these devotees, they become like on the same wavelength, the same desire to do anything for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. So now some devotees may think, oh, well, now today, Prabhu, we are in 2013, and those days where the devotees were really fired up, you know. This was in the 60s and perhaps the 70s, but surely in the 60s, you know. When, oh, they were so fortunate, they were with Prabhupada, you know. And do you think they were more qualified because they were with Prabhupada? They just had the great fortune of being with Prabhupada, but they had one thing that they were sincerely desiring to please Srila Prabhupada, despite anything else. So now we find ourselves in 2013, almost 50 years later, after Srila Prabhupada has come, where is that mood? Where is that mood? And when I say, where is that mood, my intention is not at all to say that there is no such mood. This is not my intention when I say that. Don't get me wrong. This mood has to be in the heart of every devotee. How much I want to sacrifice for Srila Prabhupada's mission. How much I'm willing to play a role in that mission and be happy offering that service to Srila Prabhupada. And on the basis that we taste this endeavor to please Srila Prabhupada, What does become our relationship with those persons who have not yet understood or received the mercy of Srila Prabhupada? What our relationship with these people becomes? Where do we stand if we understand I'm such a fortunate person. I have gotten the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And here is a person, he has not such mercy, or he doesn't understand this mercy. What is our position? Our position is karunika, that we must be merciful to other persons who don't understand that much or almost nothing of Krishna consciousness. How will we be enthusiastic to give Krishna consciousness to others unless ourselves we take advantage fully of this process that Srila Prabhupada has given to us? And Srila Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita that a devotee, he knows by his own experience what is happiness and what is distress. By his own experience. And when Prabhupada explains this, or what should be understood, is not that I understand by my experience. If I take the hammer and I give a big bang on my finger, this will hurt. This is not this kind of understanding. The happiness and the distress is in relationship to the existence or covering of one's Krishna consciousness. So by your own experience, you have to have experienced yourself that when I am Krishna conscious, I feel most happy. And if I'm not Krishna conscious, this is where the problems start. I realize after some while that I cannot be happy that way. Then we recharge our batteries. That's why we come to Vrindavan. But in relationship to others, how are we going to be, let's say, relating on a heart-to-heart relationship with other persons who have not this matchless gift of Krishna consciousness, if we have compassion for them within our heart? And this is the mood of Srila Prabhupada. This is the mood of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. This is the mood of Lord Nityananda. This is the mood of Lord Chaitanya. When you look at the deities on this altar, each and every one of these personalities is just Karuna personified. It's just, we want to give the whole world Krishna consciousness. So where do we stand? We stand as little servants. And how we will, let's say, be an instrument to push forward the giving of the mercy of Shri Guru Nitai to the whole world by taking advantage of the process of Krishna consciousness, which is based on chanting, based on avoiding the offenses to the holy name, and not being also like a spaced out person who executes Krishna consciousness more or less by chance, you know. Oh, it's like something easy to be Krishna conscious, but at the same time, it's a double-edged knife, that nothing is to be taken for granted on behalf of Krishna consciousness. To be very specific, we have to know what we want in Krishna consciousness, about Krishna consciousness, and this boils to very profoundly desiring and appreciating the association of devotees. Because we have no other association but the association of devotees. And on that basis, we must somehow or other get the respect of an entourage. In what I mean by that is that if we are a good devotee ourselves, it will show. It will show. The people will see this person is no joke. It is a devotee. And they will respect that person. So now the devotee may be like, but Prabhu, I went to such and such place and I didn't see any respect at all. Just the opposite. And especially in one's family, immediate persons who live with you, it may not be something just that happens just like that. But a devotee has certain devotional qualities. Some qualities of a devotee are that a devotee is very patient, very determined, very compassionate, and there's no illusion for a devotee in the sense that the conclusion of a devotee is, and this is what Srila Prabhupada has written in the Nectar of Devotion, a very small sentence, but very powerful, very meaningful, that in the material world, there is not even a pinch of happiness. Is there any happiness in the material world? Hello? Zero. So when for a devotee, when he sees so-called enjoyment in the material world, he has to always be very quick on the calculator. This adds up to zero. There is no substance for the soul. The soul has nothing there. So, Prabhupada has given us so much, and we should take advantage of what Srila Prabhupada has given us and become purified and ask ourselves, what can I do today in order to be helpful in pushing forward Srila Prabhupada's mission? How much I want to sacrifice? And in this paper, we read also that Srimati Lalita, she doesn't count her happiness or distress in her service to Radha and Krishna. Whatever will be needed so that Radha and Krishna, they be happy, they be together, or she'll do it. So this is an example at the highest level of Krishna consciousness, and for us who are little teeny teeny spirit souls, we should nonetheless be influenced by that kind of mood. See? So, and if we want to be Krishna conscious and act in Krishna consciousness in a way that is just wonderful, it's just ecstatic, I'll give you an example. How Krishna consciousness sometimes is just wonderful beyond calculation, beyond imagination, but simply it just works by the mercy of the spiritual master. This is a story that I heard from Hari Vilas. Hari Vilas, a devotee, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, and he explained, when Srila Prabhupada came to Paris in 1971, I lived in Paris, Not in 71 and 72, but I was with Harry Vilas. So what happened? George Harrison was very popular, he's the Beatle. So when they wanted to have a big auditorium, something very like prestigious for Srila Prabhupada to give a lecture into. So Shyam Sundar, who was Prabhupada's secretary, he told Hari Vilas, you have to find some place for Prabhupada to give a lecture. And in those days, Hari Vilas says, we had nothing. We were like devotees, you know, maybe sometimes living under the bridge in Paris. And he said, we didn't have maybe even two socks together the same color. This is the kind of devotees we were. So, and Shyam Sundar tells Hari Vilas, we have to find a place for Prabhupada to give this lecture. He will come. And Shyam Sundar told Hari Vilas, he said, all right, find a place and tell them that the guru of the Beatles is coming to town. So Hari Vilas had some connection with some lady. Hari Vilas is first class person when it comes to dealing with other persons. He's such a nice, friendly person. So he had this contact with one lady who had also another contact with the owner or the manager of this place in Paris. There is a name for it. It's very famous. The name escapes me. But anyway, it's a famous auditorium in Paris. So these guys, they wanted to make money on this event. They thought a whole bunch of people will come. So Hari Vilas told the manager, and he said to him, so, okay, we don't mind taking money for that. Just give us the auditorium. And so the other guys, they thought, oh, wow, this is a good deal, because they don't want any money in return. The people will come, and we'll have a deal there. So they agreed. That Prabhupada would come to this auditorium, and Prabhupada came, gave the lecture, and there was nobody. There was nobody in the audience. So after Prabhupada gave the lecture, and the devotees were there, after Prabhupada gave the lecture, Prabhupada said to Hari Vilas, did you see there was Narada Muni? So this is Yoga Maya. So Hari Vilas, he was saying, this is Yoga Maya. I saw it with my own eyes, these kinds of events. So when we are on the right wavelength, if you want, of Krishna consciousness becomes easy. There is a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita saying that by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, even the most difficult things become easy. But without the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, even the easiest thing becomes difficult. And we can realize that when we chant Hare Krishna very sincerely and we want to follow the principles, we want to adhere to Krishna consciousness, then Krishna creates something where our souvenir, our remembrance of Krishna is enhanced, is easier. It's like, if I remember Srila Prabhupada, as explained, and if we come to Mangalarti, then we will remember the deities all day long. I'll give you another story. Very short, this one. So this year, I work for a company in Toronto, in Canada. So, but I'm based in Montreal, but the employer's in Toronto. So every year, we go once a year to Toronto for a boat cruise. And this year, usually we go by train. And this year, somehow or other, my manager, she decided, she gave us the choice, the train or the plane. So, and we chose the plane. It's just 1 hour, hardly 1 hour plane ride from to Toronto. So we chose the plane. So we were sitting, we were three. Two colleagues on the left, two seats, and me on the other side. And before getting to this trip at home, I chanted the samsara prayers. I didn't want to, let's say, forget. I wanted this thing that I won't be too much dragged down by going in this event. So, and I asked for this kind of mercy. So, when we were on the plane, and since those, it was a propeller plane, so it was making noise all the time. So, I thought, this is nice. There is this big noise, I will chant. So I chanted during the plane ride, and afterwards all day long I chanted to myself. And at the end of the day, when we came back from Toronto to Montreal, at the very end, and I thought they would not hear anything. My boss, she told me, I heard you all day long, you were singing something, and I found it very beautiful. I wish I could sing like that. So this was Krishna's mercy, that I had a real good day that day, even though I was going for something to be like in the surroundings of many persons who have nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. But for me, it was Lord Chaitanya's mercy, Krishna's mercy. And this, if we want really to adhere to Krishna consciousness within our heart, then Lord Chaitanya will give us the mercy that it is possible like that. So thank you so much. Thank you for your mercy. Hare Krishna. Hare Hare Bol. Jai.